Welcome to another episode of Pat the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
We're going to start with sports ball.
Sports ball.
Because last time we talked about sports ball, we only talked about football. Because there was so much football news. I mean, the entirety of college football is changing. So we're going to talk about some of the lesser known sports like baseball and soccer.
Yeah, and here's the funny part. We put it in that order only for in the zeitgeist that people know more about baseball than they do about soccer at the moment, I'm going to say, because having spent the last couple of years watching MLS soccer now, I seriously think that they're making the pushes now to make themselves better known. And I think baseball just does it horrible. Like baseball managers in general, the team managers, the team owners in general, just do a horrible job of managing their teams.
Yeah. I will say that the general managers don't seem to understand. Okay, I'm going to preface this by saying I don't like Jerry Jones.
Right. Most Cowboys fans don't.
He owns the Cowboys. We haven't been good really since he took over. We were good for a couple years. And then after that, since he's been in charge, we haven't been good because he's both the owner and the general manager. Right. But he is an excellent businessman. He understands what he's doing. He fills the stadium every time, and the baseball owners, board of directors, general manager, whoever, don't seem to understand that. Now, I will say I was reading my World Series program yesterday, and this last year was some pretty significant gains. It was the, I think, the highest attendance, general attendance in games since 2017.
Wins will do that.
Yeah, highest attendance into the end of the game past the seventh inning since like 1994. Mm-hmm. Basically, the commissioner of baseball was like, we did a good thing here. like all told, we've got more people in the stands. More people are watching to the end of the game. More people are buying concessions. Children are watching the game. This is nothing but good. Like the change we made was nothing but good. On the other side of that ball, there has never been a higher year of pitcher injuries. Flat out.
Which is funny because that's probably because of what they've done to the actual baseball itself and what they've done to try to get rid of foreign substances to help pitchers throw. I think it was last year they had the whole spider tack problem. Mm-hmm. And I say problem because the only people that seemed to really care was Major League Baseball. But
yeah,
for those that don't know, before this past year, pitchers what would commonly do is take sunscreen and mix it with the resin that they use when they're drying their hands, and they'd put it on the ball just, you know, casually, not you wouldn't see them do it. They'd just casually put it on there and it would help them grip the ball because, believe it or not, the Major League Baseball has actually gotten smoother over the years, making it harder for pitchers to grip. Mm-hmm. And that's what helps pitchers make curveballs, sliders, makes the movement on the ball. And of course, baseball did this because they wanted more hits, which are more exciting, yada, yada, yada. Well, they did away with all that. And I want to say it was either 2023 or 2022 that they started checking pitchers' hands for foreign substances between innings. So that's one thing that's been happening with the game, and I'm sure that leads to pitchers trying to throw harder, which means more injuries.
If you need a good study on the importance of being able to put foreign substances on the ball to your average pitcher, Bob's Burgers episode where they go to minor league games.
Torpedo Joe or something.
Torpedo Joe, yeah. Where they bring him a burger in the fourth inning every game. And it turns out by the end of the episode, he loves the burgers, not because of the burgers, but because they're so greasy.
Right.
That he can put the grease on the ball.
Yep.
And then there's, I want to say it's Major League 3, maybe?
Yeah, with Scott Bakula.
I think so.
And then the very opening scene, the ball gets thrown into the dugout of his team. He being the struggling pitcher, Scott Bakula being the struggling pitcher, goes over there. He's covered by the guys and he's digging in there. And you see, you know, he's looting around. And there's a styrofoam chest, ice chest in there. And he comes back and, you know, he's carrying the ball. And you think, oh, okay, he got the ball. And then he throws it. And as he throws it, you see a trail of smoke coming from the ball. And it was because he put dry ice. He had the ball sitting in dry ice.
Yeah, and there's a scene where one of the pitchers, who's like an old washed up pitcher, is talking about
that was the first one.
Oh, was that the first one where he's talking about spitting on the ball and get anything he could to just
got, you know, Crisco.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, Lubriter and Astroglide.
Yeah, he's just all kinds of stuff all over his body.
And he goes, you know, and the umpires are looking at me really good. You know, I'll rub some jalapeno up my nose and, you know, get my nose all running. And then when I need to, just right on the ball. He's like, you put snot on the ball? Yeah, that was the very first one.
It's part gripping the ball, also part putting a moment on the ball so that it curves more.
Right.
When you throw it. Baseballs these days in Major League are ridiculous. Like, they're built to these ridiculous specifications. They're kept in humidors so they don't get too humid, because some ballparks it was easier to hit home runs than it was in other ballparks because the amount of humidity or the amount of moisture that was getting into the balls. Just ridiculous amounts of effort put into making the balls equivalent from park to park. Which I get from a sportsmanship standpoint, but I'm also like somewhat affronted from a waste standpoint. I'm like, this is a lot of effort going into a dang ball like that's going to get used like four times. And then somebody's going to hit it or foul it, and then it's no good anymore, right? Because we got to get a new ball. They go through hundreds of balls in a game sometimes.
I was just looking this up. An average of 84 to 120 baseballs are used in Major League Baseball in a Major League Baseball game. 120 at most times 162.
I mean, think about that. We're talking over 1,000. We're talking close to like 1,500, 2,000 balls here by the end of the season. You know, when you start bringing in spring training and practice, and it's ridiculous. Put a lot of effort into these balls.
Trying to see if I can do the math real quick. Where's the freaking, you never need the calculator in Windows until you need it. Then you can't ever find it.
Then you can't find it. It's your one job computer. You were built to be a calculator.
I can't find you. Rick is wrong with this thing.
Speaking of which, folks, the Onion's YouTube channel is starting to come back alive. It's been dead for about 10 years, you know, put out nothing but trash. 10 years ago, put out some amazing, just amazing stuff. But they had one on the other day, which was an AI comforting people about why they shouldn't be concerned about AI. It was all the AI telling them that basically it was going to kill them really fast, so they didn't need to worry about it.
Sorry, well, let's see.
Are you crunching it?
Yeah.
Crunching the numbers. Just put some number crunching music.
Right. So on the low end, I took 84 baseballs per game times 162. And then I times that by 16. 32 teams. They share the same one, so split that in two. Came out to 217,728.
Yeah. Those are baseballs that then filter down into like children's leagues, and you know, they're taken home as keepsakes or whatever, but they never see the light of day again in a major league stadium or in the minor league. So just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
On the high end, 311,040.
Good gravy. That's a lot of balls. So many balls. Put so much effort into the balls.
So this all started, folks, about talking about pitcher injuries. And yeah, the Guardians had their fair share too. We went through, I can't remember, they said it the other day, how many pitchers we used. I want to say like 25 or something throughout the whole season, which doesn't sound a lot, but it's a lot. And that's just starting pitchers they're talking about. Bring guys up from minors and bring them back down for a game or two. But, you know, things like the pitch clock really helped, I think. It really kept the game going. The shifting rule, which I thought was going to have a bigger impact on the game, I don't think it had as much of an impact as I thought it was going to.
I would almost argue it didn't have an impact at all. Like, it didn't feel like it did. You're talking about the Rangers being one of the most heavily defensive-based teams because their pitching's not that great, and they managed to win the World Series.
Right.
So, I mean,
and I didn't prep for this, so maybe next time I'll come up with the numbers, but maybe there were more hits overall in the league. Maybe there were more runs, but sitting there and watching games I did watch, it still felt like a normal game. You got used to the change in strategy, so that part wasn't too bad. I don't know about the Rangers, but the Guardians did a really good job in trying to make sure a team that was underperforming the way they did last year got people into the stands. The very thing I said that they should do, they actually started doing for like special events. And like when they would go on a streak or having a somebody's retiring or somebody's jersey's coming up, blah, 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 blah. They would put out on short notice specials on tickets for like $8, $10, $12 tickets. And granted, they weren't the best seats. They were nosebleeds or out in the bleachers or something like that, or standing room only. But that got people to the ballpark. And then they would do these things. If you watch the local broadcast on occasion, they would say, hey, this week at the ballpark at this concession stand, we've got this food item. Come check it out because it's this week only. I know I fell for it this year. The one year I took my stepdad, me and my girlfriend, we spent the night in Cleveland to watch the game. I made sure I went to that concession stand and got that special burger, which was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, when I went to the playoff games I was able to go to in the World Series, I got some of the specialty stuff for that. I did not get the over foot long lobster roll because dear Lord,
that just seems iffy in a ballpark in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, Boston makes sense, but
right. So they have a boomstick, right? Which is, you know, a giant chili cheese foot long hot dog with jalapenos and onion, whatever. And that's like a staple, right? And then they came out with the boomstick hamburger, which is a foot-long hamburger. Think about that. It's like four times the amount of meat as a hot dog. And maybe, I don't know, roughly equivalent, maybe twice as much bread. For the World Series, they did the lobster roll. And they sold, I can't remember, they had a limited number where you could buy all three for like a, you know, a lower price. And I was like, good Lord. That's ridiculous. The Rangers had Tuesday family days. So like outfield tickets were like $6. Honestly, the Rangers do a really good job of promoting other sports teams within Dallas. They always have jersey days where if you go, if you get certain seats, you can choose to get a Rangers jersey, but it's in the Stars color. Or the Mavericks colors or the Cowboys colors. They do promotions like almost every day. There's very few days that don't. And they've already announced some of them for this year coming up. I'm going to make sure I go to the one where they give out the mini World Series trophy to the first 10,000 fans or whatever. They do a good job.
Guardians did a lot of promos directed mostly about their players. Last year we went to the game because they had a reversible bucket hat, and on one side, one part of the hat, the one side of the hat was just pictures of Jose Ramirez all over it, like in a pattern or something. And then the other side was blue with the Progressive logo on it. This year, the one I want to go to, I believe it's a weekend game, May 4th. And they've got a bobblehead of the player Stephen Kwan dressed as a Jedi and holding a lightsaber. And it's because, you know, his name's Kwan, so they're calling it Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
You know, and they have jerseys. They've got a couple of jerseys every year. They, you know, they're not like real jerseys, but I mean, they're still nice jerseys that they hand out for players every year. We got one for Shane Bieber a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. The Beeb.
The Beeb. Shane, not Justin Bieber.
Yep.
So they've been doing a lot of good promos for that. So baseball does those things, and I think they're starting to. But you want to look to where they're starting to have failures. Look at the Cincinnati Reds, because they have a very loyal fan base. Reds fans are just love the Reds. But they don't do sellouts. Stadium's often empty, and people talk about it a lot. Oakland
lost their team.
Yeah.
They're going to Vegas, just like the
Raiders.
They lost their football team. Yeah.
You know, you got things like that happen. You would think that in those areas, people would go flocking to those games. But then you got teams like the Pirates, and I don't know how the Pirates are still a team.
It's Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I think baseball's starting to get their footing, but they've not been doing well for a long time.
Yeah. I would also recommend, you know, whoever our listeners are, wherever you are, check out both your, you know, most local major league team for all the promo days they do, but also check out your minor league teams, because a lot of them do awesome promos. I mean, the minor league team here in Dallas, the Frisco Rough Riders, they are amazing. Like, they built a whole new stand. You know, the Dr. Pepper Stadium has a lazy river in it. Like, you can get like 20 ticket sets to go hang out. On Thursdays, they close it adult only. And they, you know, your ticket comes with like two drinks. You know, they have a really wide variety of food. Suites are relatively inexpensive, like for a sporting event. So if you're like, I don't want to go, you know, sit in the stands in like 300 degree weather, you can just get a suite, get like 20 friends together.
And if you're one of those people that as a kid, you got baseball cards of guys before they were popular. Now all of a sudden that baseball card might be worth something. This is where you do it, is at the minor league level. Depending on what level the team is, you know, single, double, triple A, that just shows how far they might have to go. But there are a lot of young stars and guys that are just waiting for their chance. And you get to meet those guys and get autographs and kind of maybe start following them and, you know, start building a rapport. So that way when they get to the show, you're like, I knew that guy, I've seen that guy play, I can't wait for him to do great here in the, you know, in the show.
Yeah,
the minor league is always fun.
Yeah,
plus it's less serious, it's less, you know, about guys making, you know, hundreds of thousands if not millions of dollars, you know.
Right. I think the games are a lot of times more fun. You can get better seats, better prices. It's a fun thing to do with the family and or a bunch of friends,
and relatively cheap in comparison.
Yeah. Okay, so rules changes for 2024. We have a widening of the runner's lane between home plate and first base. So basically, there's a small bit of dirt between the foul line and the grass that was not considered to be part of the running lane. Mm-hmm. It is now part of the runner's lane.
Okay, so they're going to keep it grass, or are they going to extend? Because now they do have a part about, I don't know, two-thirds of the way down from home to first that does kind of cut out into clay, and that's supposed to be that lane. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be that area for the runner to go.
No, it's going to be a whole extra foot, basically.
Yeah, you know, foot.
Yeah.
I don't really
think it'll make that big of a difference. It's not like, I don't think you have balls making it to the first baseman beating the runner because he doesn't have an extra foot of a lane. I don't see that as a valid argument.
Right. And the bigger part is, and I've seen videos that have happened this past year, what happens is like the third or second baseman or shortstop is throwing to first, and he throws it in such a way it carries in front of the runner, and it's the runner who gets called out for interference as opposed to the other way around, which is ridiculous because the runner's constrained to running in a certain area.
Yeah.
If he runs out of that area, he's considered out for running outside the lane. So I don't know. I think that they're taking something away from the runner and giving the defense an advantage per se.
I think it benefits guys who have their back turned to first base. Like was that right-handed batters or left-handed?
Left-handed.
Left-handed batters. Because then there's no, like, they don't have to take a step into the lane and then go. They just turn and go.
Right.
I mean, you could also say that about the right-handers. I think it just lets them take off. So maybe I see very, very few times where it's one step. Mm-hmm. It happens. Like, it happens where, you know, the runner, the ball beats the runner by one step, but it's not often.
You get some really close ones. That's the only really good thing about instant replay now with baseball, is that you see how close it gets and how, you know, it can change a game. And so they try to get the call right. So most times I think that's been the beneficial part of the instant replay, is the call at first. Sometimes at home, and they have more angles for the call at home, but it's still a lot of times hard to tell.
Yeah.
What are the rules? I know they still got the clock.
They reduce the pitch clock by 2 seconds.
Okay.
When there are runners on base. So if there's no runners on base, you still get your full, what is it, 11 seconds? Or no, 15.
Yes.
Yeah. But now it's, when there's runners on base, it's reduced. That's an interesting sort of like a head game you're pulling on the pitcher there.
Well, I think it makes it easier for the pitcher because he doesn't have to wait as long.
Yeah.
Because the thing is when you had that all that extra time, then you could narrow it down to when that pitcher had to pitch. So that's what guys were doing. Is they were trying to lead off the base to kind of get hold the pitch.
Yeah.
So now you got less time to make that gamble of trying to pull that pitcher.
Yeah.
It's not an advantage for the pitcher per se, but it makes it a little more even because now you're giving less time for the runner to try to psych out the pitcher.
Yeah. And then they reduced mound visits to the pitcher by one. So there's fewer times that the coach can go out and talk to the pitcher.
The only thing I could read into that is that they gave them too many and no one was using them as much as they needed to, or maybe they were using them too much, but I never got that impression that they were using them that much. Certainly not before the rule.
Right.
Like before the rule, they were doing it like five times an inning.
Yeah. I feel like at the end of the season, they were getting used a lot. They were getting used up every game. The beginning of the season, not so much. But obviously, that makes sense, right?
Right.
Games can matter a whole lot more at the end of the season than they can at the beginning.
Right.
Not that math sort of makes sense, but it does.
And I think if you're the other team watching that guy, the other manager come out, you're still going, that's fine. I get that because, I mean, I don't like it. But, you know, when it's our turn, we're probably going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You just hated when they were doing it five times an inning and swapping out pitchers every batter and things like that. That's when it was getting annoying. So the three batter rule has been fine, I think.
Yep. So those were the changes. There hasn't been any else. So nothing earth shattering like it was last year.
Yeah.
But earth shattering in a good way. I think it really has a chance to reinvigorate baseball. Now, a baseball game is almost half as long as a football game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since there's 10 times as many. Yeah, that's right. 10 times as many baseball games as there are football games. It's more likely you can watch more.
Right.
I mean, 4 hours on baseball five times a week. That's a lot of TV and or stadium time. I mean, that's a lot of time you're not living.
I will say that because the standard in most baseball stadiums is that after the seventh inning, concessions closes down. They need to keep that open till the bottom of the ninth. If there mm-hmm. is, you know, a bottom of the ninth.
I would figure you keep it open till the ninth inning starts.
Yeah.
And then whoever's left in line, you're like, okay, we'll give you food.
Because I got to tell you, I don't know how it happens in most extra inning games, but most of the time they don't reopen the concession stands. And sometimes those games can, even with the new rules for extra innings, they can go a while.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I can think of when I watch that on TV. I go, those poor people haven't had anything to eat or drink in like an hour and a half. Like
2 hours. Yeah.
You know, and if the games are shorter, that means you spend less time. You want to go to the concession stands less because you're going to miss more of the game by going to the concession stands.
Yeah, it was common when I would go, like, even so I went to several all you can eat or games where I was in the all you can eat seats. And so it's mm-hmm. not really concessions, right? I just go up there, grab what I want and come back.
Right.
And I would miss an inning every right. time I did that.
Imagine if you had to order, pay and wait.
Yeah.
You might miss three innings and that's a third of the game.
I'm trying to think if I did that at all during the regular season games that I went to, or I always got stuff prior to game start because I didn't want to do that because right. I knew it was going to take forever.
Well, and there's the funny part too. Then, you know, the gates, at least at Guardians games, only opens like an hour beforehand.
Yeah. The Rangers, it's like an hour and a half for regular games. And it depends, like Saturday games, they open even earlier.
Mm-hmm. So if it's a normal game without anything going on and it's only an hour, not as much time as you think. By the time you get in, you walk around to places, you want to see everything. I know we usually do. We usually walk at least half the stadium, go by the team store, and then look at the concessions and debate what we want.
Oh, yeah. I usually walked at least one loop around the stadium. Every game I went to, sometimes multiple. I'd walk the upper deck and the lower deck. Mm-hmm. Couldn't walk the middle decks because that's where the rich people were.
Right. That's the club. And yeah.
Yeah,
it was the club level, but it wasn't the club. It was like you said, an all you can eat section. I did that once and it was like $100. I go, I tell you though, what though, once a year, that's worth doing.
Yeah,
it was interesting because they actually had like food like a lasagna and like pasta dishes and, you know, things like that. Huh. Like beef stroganoff or something like that, you know, and it changes per game. But, I mean, you know, they'd have like a salad bar section and they still had your hot dogs, hamburgers and things like that. Personal pizzas or pizza by the slice, ice cream bars. And then out by the seats, they would have this little stand and it was a scoop and one of those boat trays that you put peanuts in.
Yeah.
And then you had access to a soda fountain. There were two soda fountains, but you had access to it. So you, as much soda as you wanted.
Yeah, that's a better setup than they've got at the Rangers ballpark. It's all just hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, nachos. Same thing every game. And
that's not bad for like, say, $75. I don't know if I'd pay $100 for that.
I actually don't think they're even that. They weren't even that much. I think they were like $60. Yeah, oh, $50, $60. Depending on the game, like that's something you got to look at for game prices is some games are more expensive than others, just depending on the day, depending on who you're playing. Going to an Astros Rangers game is going to be so much more expensive than going to like Rangers Mariners Yankees,
Phillies, and now the Dodgers. Not, it would have been the Angels, but now it's the Dodgers.
Yeah,
is Shohei Ohtani got picked up by the Dodgers.
That guy can hit
and pitch.
Yeah, I know.
He is a generational player. He's a phenom.
Yeah,
he's a tall Japanese guy, and I don't mean like tall like he's normal American size. No, he is like Pat, if not taller.
I'm 6'2", just so everybody knows.
he is a giant of a Japanese person.
Yeah, and his batting average is like 0.3 something, which is unheard of for pitchers. Most pitchers hit okay, but they don't hit good. He's got a good batting average. And then his pitching. I mean, his pitching is amazing. He regularly throws his fastball is above 95, if not above 98.
Yeah, his average last year was 0.304.
Yeah.
He's a career 274 average.
For a pitcher, that's amazing. Because that's like, oh, I have another heavy hitter. It also happens to be my pitcher, because normally the pitcher is the guy that stinks.
Yeah.
Which is why you have a pitch hitter in the American League.
Let's see. When did he start? He started in 2018. And since 2018, his grand total of runs is 428, 437 RBIs, 86 stolen bases, which is amazing. He'd be able to steal anything.
Right.
171 home runs and 681 hits.
Yeah. We're talking about a pitcher here.
Right. And then here's the thing. If he is batting, because they now only do the designated hitter, the days that he pitches, he doesn't bat. But then the days that he doesn't pitches, he's an outfielder and he becomes either a designated hitter or an outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing almost every single day.
Yeah, which is not normal. Most pitchers play once every 3 to 4 games.
Right.
If that. Usually it's every 4 or so. Normally you've got 3 starters, and so you rotate through the 3. More if you're more aggressive on that end, less if you're terrible. Less if you're the Rangers. We kept getting starters, and we ended up with finishers or bullpenners.
So yeah, the Guardians lost their manager. I know we've talked about that. He retired, so they got a new manager, first-year manager. A guy named Stephen Voigt. He was a catcher for the Oakland A's. I don't know how I feel about this season. I think I'm telling myself to keep my expectations low. Offensively, we had an off year. We getting a lot of guys back. We lost one or two. So we're going to get a couple of first-year rookies this year like we've done the last several years. I don't know. I'm just trying to keep my expectations low because we were close to going at least to the ALCS a couple of years ago. One game away from beating the Yankees and going to that with the first year team, you know, all rookies. So this year, just trying to keep expectations low, watch spring training a little bit, not too much, and get ready for the season start, which Ollie will be on a cruise when we have our home opener.
Yeah.
Which is the day of the solar eclipse that everyone's crazy about.
Yeah. I actually don't know about the Rangers, but I know the Frisco Rough Riders are having a big party for that for opening weekend slash eclipse. So, you know, baseball stadium's not a bad place to watch a solar eclipse. So I think we've maybe covered everything in baseball. I don't know. this point?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which sports ball do we want to move on to now? I'm assuming soccer.
Yeah, I could just talk quickly about how the Columbus Crew, since the inception of the Major League Soccer, American Soccer, the Professional American Soccer League, are now the three-time MLS Cup champions. Woo! I say that because I live near Columbus, and I'm a Columbus Crew fan, and it was a great season. We did a really good job. It was an exciting game. I think that whoever's running MLS and the teams, they really need to jump on getting some of these TV deals done and start trying to make them a little more mainstream, because you'd be surprised, but people are going to be more interested in soccer than people realize. I think there's a lot of interest out there, and I think Americans like the idea of being competitive in a sport that the whole world plays, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's really four things here. So the first is the desire to be a number one because we're America.
Right.
Which is always true. So we would like our soccer team, men's soccer team, to get just a little further in the World Series than they have, World Cup than they have in the past.
At least the men's, because the women have done spectacular until this past
This past year. Number two, the generation which is now coming into its full buying potential is my generation, and we all grew up playing soccer. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, I mean, I played for like 16 years, maybe 15, either way, just as a, you know, on a rec team. I played two seasons on a real actual competitive team, but for the most part, I just played to have fun. But it means I enjoy the sport and I know how the sport works and I'm okay with watching the sport. If you've never played a sport before, then it's harder to pick it up, which is why it took me so long to understand and pick up football, because I never played it. Mm-hmm. But I played soccer.
Well, that's because we grew up with parents that were worried about us getting concussions and breaking our necks and things like that. And generally speaking, that doesn't happen in soccer. You get hurt in soccer, but not like that.
Not like that. So most of our generation played soccer at some point, of those who played sports. Number three, Ted Lasso.
Yes, Ted Lasso.
Probably one of the biggest runaway hit shows during the pandemic that we all loved.
Yes.
And then number four, Welcome to Wrexham.
Yes.
So Ted Lasso kind of made us fall in love with soccer and sort of the concept of the English system. And then Welcome to Wrexham made it real,
right?
I think, for a lot of people.
And for those that don't know that show, Welcome to Wrexham is about how Ryan Reynolds, the actor, and
the other guy.
I know his last name is McElhinney. I just can't remember his first name.
It's from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
They bought into a English soccer league team out of Wales.
Bought in's not the right word. Bought.
Bought. Yeah.
They bought it.
They bought it.
The amount of money they put into that team, they bought it.
And McElhinney was like the principal guy who wanted and convinced Ryan Reynolds to put up his massive amounts of money, you know, in for it.
I love that in the first episode where they're talking about it, they're like, yeah, and I was, you know, started watching and I really got into it, and my, you know, my buddy from the writer from the show convinced me to get into this, and I, you know, I started doing the numbers, and then I realized I was going to need movie star money. And I knew one of those.
And it was a great story of how this team kept getting relegated to the bottom of the English soccer league, and you discover that there's some depth to English soccer, because you always hear about the Premier League, you know, teams like Manchester City, Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, some of those teams. You see them on TV now and again.
Go Arsenal!
Americans really didn't understand it. But then you hear about these American actors buying into soccer, and then you kind of get interested in their story and what they did, and that it actually became a success.
Yeah.
Which is unusual, because oftentimes it doesn't.
And you can see the owners seem to understand that you know, America's kind of somewhere. It's gonna explode soon. Mm-hmm. Because we brought Beckham over, right? For however much money that cost.
Way back in the day.
And now we're bringing Messi in.
Yes.
Right? For however much that's costing.
That's going to be over $1 billion. I'll say that now. His the money they're paying him plus the incentives after the fact.
Yeah.
He's going to be a billionaire.
You're talking about like football players and, or, you know, American football players and baseball players and basketball players making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. They pale in comparison. Like Beckham was $1 billion athlete.
Yes.
You know, a year playing in the Premier League and then in the United States. Who's Messi playing for? I can't remember.
Inter Miami.
That's right. He's playing for Miami.
Yeah. And this being said, the Saudi Arabia is trying to make their own soccer league, and they are gobbling up soccer players from around the world, the best that they can get, because they can pay for those guys. So it's just the importance of soccer is ramping up.
I want to segue into Saudi Arabia a little bit. They are attempting to build a league in almost every internationally played sport.
Right.
So they attempted to make their own PGA effectively.
Well, not that we want to go down this road, but I'll just say this. They're changing the economy from one based on oil to one based on entertainment.
Right. They have almost taken over boxing. Mm-hmm. So many of the boxing matches are happening over there, like in Dubai and in Saudi Arabia now, mm-hmm. and not in America anymore.
Well, they just had that big race, that big Formula One race.
F1 is now in Saudi Arabia. They are making this interesting shift, and it's hard to tell if this is an economic decision or if this is we're the best because we're Saudi Arabia kind of a decision. But it's troubling to me because it's a despotic command economy. Basically, you can complain all you want about the gulf between like average folks, you know, middle class working Joes and CEOs in America. Mm-hmm. Like the comparison between the average citizen in Saudi Arabia and one of the princes or members of the royal family and their hangers on pales. Like our differences between our rich and us pale in comparison between, because we're talking about people who don't have like running water or electricity regularly. Princes who regularly have American singers come over and do concerts for their children.
Right.
Like that's the difference between these two. And so it troubles me how invested so many things are becoming in Saudi Arabia because of how downtrodden the people are. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That's just flat out how I feel about it.
People, they do what they can for money. I mean, and that's why LIV was going in that direction. And, you know, I don't know how PGA pulled that one off, but they did.
Yeah. Now, I will say it is a little bit more hopeful for the people in Saudi Arabia, because with the oil stuff, what was typically happening, or at least when the U.S. was getting our oil there, we were bringing our own companies in with our own people. And so the only people making money off the deal were us and the kickbacks we were paying to the government, which was, you know, the Saudi king and the princess, the royal family. I assume the Chinese are probably doing it the exact same way because they're the primary purchaser these days. We are not. Mm-hmm. We get our oil from Texas. Go Texas. Because Texas has so much solar and wind power that we don't need our own gas and oil production. So we give it to everybody else. We are rapidly becoming completely energy independent. It's ridiculous. But this has a chance to actually help the average working person moving to an entertainment based, because for an entertainment based economy, you have to have swarms and swarms of servers, effectively people who are serving the people who are being entertained,
people working the venues.
Right. So you have the entertainers themselves, you know, which could be the F1 thing, right? And then you mm-hmm. have the stands that have to be cleaned, and the stands that have to be built and repaired, and the concession stands that have to be run by people. Like, there's all these people making money now who were not making money under the oil economy. So it's hopeful, and I hope those people, like all people who go from, you know, dirt poor to a slightly middle class and realize they're being oppressed, that they overthrow their oppressors and set up a democracy. That's my hope. And now we're going to get banned from Patreon, I'm sure.
I'll just say this, that the other thing that's helping is social media, believe it or not, because nowadays TikTok videos, Instagram, they all try to make you believe that you can do these fantastic airplane rides on first classes with, you know, Emirates and Etihad. You know, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I flew this great, you know, trip from here to here. And you're like, yes, but you're not talking about how much it costs. I don't know what makes you think that anybody can afford this, you know?
Yeah.
And they try to convince you that. But that'll play a part, too, because, you know, there'll be people who will do whatever it takes to try to afford just that one trip.
Yep.
Those things will help too, which will, again, create more jobs and demand that, you know, workers get paid more because, you know, they get to, they have to spend their money on stuff too.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing about soccer. Soccer takes you to the rest of the world as a sport that leads to other discussions. It is the sport because everywhere else in the world plays it. Some places, like, you know, the NFL did games in Europe this year, England, Germany,
Mexico City.
What is it? The Browns are going to go to South America next year to play the Eagles, I think.
Okay. That's cool.
But those places don't
play. Buenos Aires, I'm guessing. Or Sao Paulo. It's either going to be Argentina or Brazil.
I thought it was going to be Peru, actually, but
really? Like Lima? I would not want to go play because it's in the mountains, folks. You're talking, you know, Mile High Stadium here. Like, I can't breathe. Can't breathe, coach. Which we all joke about, but, you know, the Broncos aren't beating anybody. So and they have that advantage.
But no one's really playing those sports there. They're hoping that, you know, that this will generate interest. Baseball is played in a lot of places, but there's a lot of places it's not playing, such as Asia, Africa, Europe.
Most of the Americanized portions of Asia, so Japan, the Philippines, whatnot, they all play baseball.
Right.
And in fact, Japan plays better than we do. They consistently beat us.
I was going to say Japan, Korea play it. And that's where you hear mostly where it's played. It's like, say, Japan and Korea, maybe the Philippines, but they're not really generating the kind of buzz.
No, they don't produce the same kind of players.
It's certainly not China, like China, India, Russia.
Well, India's got cricket, so they've already got a bat and ball game. Right. That's the thing about, like, the non-America English speaking countries, a.k.a. former British colonies and Great Britain, is they all have cricket.
You're right. Brazil. Brazil. That's the rumors that they're going to play the Eagles in Brazil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's baseball. Basketball, from what I understand, basketball is big in Australia and Europe. Hmm. But I can't say with any definity as to how big it is there. I know that there is a New Zealand league. That's an option for kids who don't want to stay in college and just want to, you know, get as close to the pros as they can, as quickly as they can. They'll either go into what's called the G League or I want to say it's the New Zealand league. Hmm. Yeah. But there's not one sport that is global like there is soccer.
Like soccer.
So that's my little spiel about soccer. Hockey, we're coming towards the end of hockey. It's March. Season ends in April. Blue Jackets have had an awful year. Just awful. I'm still going to the games that I can go to. I'm going to one this week. Still keeping up hope because there are good players here. I just don't know what's holding them back. I'm thinking it's the coach because we just have all sorts of bad luck with the coach this year and the guy that was supposed to be coaching us this year. And with goalies saying that they should be the number one goalie, even though they are doing terrible. Yeah, I don't know what to say about hockey this year. There's less, you know, exciting. It's exciting to go. I want to renew my season tickets, but I'm not going to do it yet. Quarter season, so 10 games out of the season.
Yeah.
But it's fun to go. Hockey's always a blast to go because the cool part is you get an 18-minute break. You know you get 18 minutes. When you get out from your seats and go onto the promenade, there are TVs with a countdown of how much time there is. And I always have enough time to go to the bathroom and go to the concessions and get back to my seat in time and always have a blast.
Yeah, so the Stars are number two out of everybody. They're two wins behind the Canucks. And that's it. Like, they're above everybody else on GP wins and losses. You can make an argument for the Jets, but Yeah, whatever. Either way, probably going to the Stanley Cup this year, I think. Well, they're going to make the playoffs. That's like a whole new season once the playoffs start. So
yeah,
the Stars have been doing well. I still have not gone to a game. I still really want to go to a game. Just don't have any time. If I lived in Frisco, we would go to like every Rough Riders and every Stars game. But I don't. I live
on the other side.
Yeah. The furthest you can live away from all of the sports. I hate that.
See, and that's how I feel about being where I'm living in Chillicothe. Like when I was in Columbus, I would be going to, what was it? Saturday, there was a Crew game and someone was offering a $20 ticket. I'm like, oh, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But nope, it's an hour drive plus parking plus, you know, other stuff. So didn't do it.
Yep.
That's always the key to it. Or if I wasn't, you know, lived closer to Cleveland, I'd go to a ton more baseball games, which I know the Guardians aren't the only teams doing this. They did it last year and they're doing it this year. A $50 a month subscription for a standing room only ticket for every game in that month.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
And for like a downtown team like Cleveland, I mean, that's a great thing to do. You get off work, you go over there, you have a few beers, watch a few innings. And if you really like it, you stay for the rest of the game. If not, you go home. Yeah. Had a couple of beers, watched a baseball game in person, and you went home.
I really want someone on this side of Dallas to get together and form a minor league team or something, get something out here.
Move the Rough Riders across town. So that way, you know, they're not on top of each other with the big team. The
Stars. Yeah. Well, you know, or even just form a, cause I think the Rough Riders are AAA, mm-hmm. form a AA team out here, you know, and then we have, you know, major league and then two different minor league teams. That'd be great. I don't know what you call them, but I guess the Frisco Rough Riders, it'd have to be the Rockwall. I don't know, something that starts with an F. I don't know. Fighters, Froggers, Freedom Fighters. I don't know.
Foo Fighters. So the Rough Riders are AA.
Double A. Sorry. Get a AAA team out here.
So their AAA team is in Round Rock.
Yeah, that's outside of Austin. That's north of Austin.
High A team is in Hickory, the Hickory Crawdads.
I don't even know where that is.
I'm going to assume Louisiana.
Yeah.
And then lower A is Down Eastwood Ducks. Hmm. Where do you guys play? Because you guys got colors like they're Florida A&M. Hmm. Granger Stadium. Where are you located? That's their stadium. Wow. You want to talk about minor league. That's a homey looking stadium.
Yeah. Frisco, the Rough Riders have a very good stadium.
Kinston, where is that? I'm guessing Louisiana. No. Oh, that's North Carolina.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's lower A.
So... something. Get something out here. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could go to the high school football games. Those are fun.
That's something I hear people out here in Ohio do, but I feel weird because like it's not like I have a kid at the game.
Right.
So then aren't I just the creepy old guy, you know, watching high school boys?
I think any other states other than like Ohio and Texas, the answer would be yes. But you would just get in there and you'd realize, oh, there's lots of creepy old guys. I'm just one of many. There's many of us here. I'm just one of the crowd. There's nothing else to do on Friday night.
I guess. I mean, because that's like I listened to this. I have when the guy puts out a podcast. He's the on-field reporter for the Guardians. And I listened to his podcast and he goes, oh, yeah, you know, this such and such high school. And he's got two kids that are still in elementary school. He's talking about, you know, going to the high school basketball game. So I'm like, really?
Yeah. I guess.
I'm just worried, like, you know, someone's gonna stop me and go, which one of you gotta be here for a kid.
Yeah, right.
who are you related to here?
I don't think that's like, it's just you live in the town, so you go to the game. So I think that's what Texas and Ohio have on top of everybody else, a built-in fan base. It's not dependent on the children.
Oh yeah.
And then we got Olympics coming up
in France, right?
Yes, Paris. The Paris Olympics. So we'll see how that goes.
You would think that an Olympic year, especially like this year, they'd just make the Tour de France like the event in the Olympics, you know?
I don't know. It's because it's its own thing. It's probably far too much money involved.
Yeah, the Olympics. I'm not as excited about the Summer Olympics as I am the winter.
Yeah. But plenty of sports ball coming up this year.
Yeah.
Yep. Sports ball. Looking to see what happens in the football. We already covered that. Looking to see what happens in baseball. I'm hoping the Rangers do a repeat or make another run to the pennant. That'd be amazing.
Well, you got USFL coming up.
Yep. End of the month. USFL. I don't think I'm able to go to the first weekend, so I didn't end up getting like season tickets, but I'm still thinking about it. It's only 5 games. I'm going to go to at least one. At least one. I don't watch the rest on TV because it'll all be on Fox or ABC or ESPN. But I think that rounds us out for sports ball.
Yep.
Appreciate you guys listening to us. Remember, we have a website, patthefatman.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter.
Just call it Twitter. I think everybody else still does.
At the Fat Man. Some string of numbers.
1238.
1238.
That's the Twitter and Instagram. It's just Pat and the Fat Man.
And we'd like to thank our sponsors. That would be the patrons, the people who shell out at least $1 a month. They think we're worth at least that much, and we appreciate you all. And remember, if you ever want total control over what we talk about, you can become a patron. Tell us what you want us to review, and we will review it. And to our patrons, we appreciate you all greatly. So,
yeah.
From Pat and the Fat Man.
Well, maybe next time, yeah, we'll talk about the Oscars and Dune and Oppenheimer, because I've actually seen those movies now.
Good deal. Well, I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Go crew. Settle down there, Madonna.
Wait, what? What was that even a reference to?
That she's a or was?
You know, this used to be a family-friendly podcast.
Since when?
I don't know. I don't think it ever was. We started with The Matrix, right? That's not a family-friendly movie. I mean, it has an entire scene where two people kill like 4 dozen people in a matter of seconds. Yeah.
We rushed through 16 candles because we were like, whoa.
Yeah. You're welcome, everybody, that we only took an hour and a half for 16 candles instead of our normal 4 to 8 hours per movie, because holy crad, which was that movie, all kinds of WTF. Good grief. Well, this didn't hold up.